three green flakes. And what does green stand for? It's time to go. Go. Declare the kingdom. It's not just gold. It's green. It's cool. Yeah. Hold my mule while I shout.
It's growing again.
Yep, it is. It's green. It's time to go. You know, this is a year. A couple of weeks ago, I was sitting at the coffee shop, and John walked in. The Lord had just spoke to me, and he said, January 31st, I want you to do the stuff. I want you to heal the sick. I want you to cast out devils. I want you to lay hands and prophesy and do everything. Do it all. You know, this place has been prophesied. It's going to be a water hole for the thirsty in the panhandle. And this is times when we get like this. We need to be here to pray for the sick. And I want it to start. I want you to come. I want you to pray all month for your gifting to be activated and stirred up in what we're worshiping. There's going to be hands laid on people and prophesy. Everything going on at once. It may look like controlled chaos, but we're going to let everything be done.
Yes,
you know, it says let everything be done decent and in order. But you first got to let it be done.
Yes.
There's too many places getting to where they don't let anything be done. And I'm telling you, it's time. The devil don't want anything done. You know, it says that for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And sin is a work of the devil. That's why he was manifest, to destroy it. And that word destroy means to render inactive.
Yes.
It's our time to render his works inactive, at least around where we are.
Yes.
That he can't function where we are. And it's time to say no. Get in the battle. We have a friend, Claudine Cheney. We've known her. She was with Frank Hammond and Jimmy Lau. And we went to their church about 10, 12 years ago, maybe 15. And did a deliverance conference. It's a long time ago. We did a deliverance conference. She is a fireball. I'm telling you. Well, she went on to be with the Lord. Guess what she was doing when she went on to be with the Lord? Deliverance.
Yeah.
She was casting devils out of this lady. And then she just took a breath and she was gone.
Yes.
And they couldn't find any reason why she died. She just went. That's the way to go.
Yes.
Destroying the works
yes.
of the devil. I'm telling you, she wouldn't have gone any other way. And we need to realize that's what we're here for. God's put us here for such a time as this. And I'm going to talk about seed time and harvest. You know, it's seed time. It's harvest time. But you have to sow the seeds before the harvest. And we're going to see a good year. But we've got to be, you know, his word is seed that he's put in us. His word. And there's Psalms 126. Verse 1 says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. You think the church is in captive? You think it's captive? Yes. But God wants to turn that captivity again. It says in Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. What? Laughter. All the kings of the earth set themselves against the God and his son and said, we're going to bind him. And he says, God sits in heaven and laughs. He laughs at it. And so, and it says, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. What does he say? We are his epistle, known and read of all men. They need to see there's something. There's life in church, not death. And it says, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. As the streams, what is streams doing in the south most of these days now? They're flooding.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
They're flooding everywhere. Streams are become rivers.
Yes.
And they're flooding
yes,
everywhere.
Lord.
And it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Hallelujah. This is a year to begin to sow. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Make sure this year you've coveted with your tongue to speak life and not death.
Amen.
Quit listening to life. There's going to be death. There's going to be a lot of death on TV and a lot of stuff going on. Don't fill your mind with death. Fill your hearts with life. And let that life, you know, it says, keep your heart with all diligence. That's the new one, not the old one. For out of it are the wellsprings of life. Let that wellsprings of water flow, because we're going to be talking about seed. You know, God said in Isaiah 54, he says in verse 1, Isaiah 55, "Ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the water." You know there's a lot of thirsty people out there. There's a lot of thirsty people in church. And he says, "And he that hath no money, come ye, buy, eat." And he says, "Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." That sounds like grace to me. He says, "Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your souls," your what? "Your souls delight itself in fatness." What's that? Your mind, your will, and your emotion. That's the New Exchange one. "Incline your ears. Come into me." That's the word. Some want to just go to him. I want to go into him. "Come into me, oh, and hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." That's where we end. The new covenant. We already have it. "Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader, a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not." Say, that's me. "And nations that knew thee not shall run into thee because of the Lord thy God. For the Holy One of Israel, he hath glorified you. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon his name while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." Why? Because our natural thoughts are not his thoughts. Listen to this. "And let him return into the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Now here we go. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Now that may be true of somebody that's not exchanged, but that's not true of you. You have the mind of Christ. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." I'm telling you what was saying a while ago is God's ready to give you seed to sow. He's done it in the natural. Now he wants to do it in the spiritual. He's given you the seeds to sow, positive seeds. Jesus said death and life, what? That's in the power of the tongue. And he says every idle word you speak, you're given account of. An idle word is an inactive word. It's a Greek, inactive. Don't let inactive words dominate your life. Let them be filled with life. Let your words be filled with life. And he says, "So shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It will not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please and shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills will break before you into singing, and the trees of the field will clap their hands." Is that a deal? Instead of thorns coming up, the fir tree. Instead of the briars come up, the myrtle tree. "And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." So give me an amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Now that's a bunch. See, it's time to begin to sow seed. It's time to see that your words are seed. Not only your words are seed, but you know, we talk about grace giving. And you know, there in 2 Corinthians, we've been doing this for years. You know, one of the biggest struggle I had bringing some of my pastors around is talking about grace giving instead of tithing. Some of them actually left my meetings and hadn't come back when I started talking like this, that we're not under that. You know, you got to sow the seed to get the harvest. Is that right? Over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, listen what grace giving says. This is this. "But this I say, he that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully will reap bountifully." See, if God's the one that gives you the seed to sow, you have a choice to do with that seed. But it's going to determine your harvest. Tithe comes from the harvest. Grace given determines the harvest.
Yes.
Now, I'm not just talking about money, saints. God's given us the seeds to sow, naturally and spiritually. And it says, if you choose to sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. But if you choose to sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. Every man, as he's purposed in his new heart, let him what? Give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves the cheerful giver. And God is able, catch this, to make all grace abound. What is this? It's called giving grace. He said to the Corinthian church, as you abound in all the gifts and everything else you're abounding in, see that you abound in this grace also, the ability to give. And it says, and he says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound into every good work, is what that says. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, and his righteousness remains a little while. I better have a drink.
Yes.
How long is his righteousness going to reign?
Forever.
All forever. Now, he that ministers seed to the sower, say, that's me. God's given you seed. What he's given in purpose for you before the foundation of the world. If he saved you, Timothy, Paul said, God's called you for a purpose. And it's not what you purposed, but what he purposed for you before the foundation of the world. And if he's purposed something for you, he's going to give you the seed to do it. But you got to receive the seed. Is the seed yet in the barn, Haggai says? Is the seed where? What did the rich man say? He filled up his barn and said, soul, take your ease. Take your ease. You got much stored up. He says, you fool. This day has God required this at your hand. And he says, soul, you have much goods. See, seed's not made to stay in the barn.
Amen.
People put seed in the barn to store it up to plant later. But we have a creator that wants to give you seed as you sow it. You are the barn, and he's going to give you the seed to sow as you sow. There's no limit to the sowing. See, he that ministers to you seed, to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. You know, life is a mystery. The greatest mystery of life is that life can be reduced to a seed. After God spoke what he spoke, everything, it is God's decree that every living creature is perpetuated, whether it be plant, animal, men, by seed. Everything is in seed form. Every single thing that God created is in seed form. Within that seed is a code of creation that controls everything that happens to that seed. Locked in that seed is its identity, its potential. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, herb yielding seed, and the fruit of the tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. God has purposed that his fruit have seed in it. Even the fruits of the Spirit that God allows us to have has seeds in those fruits. As every man has received that gift, even so minister that same gift as good stewards of the many-sided grace of God. It will bring forth after its kind. We carry in us the purpose of God to impart seed to a new generation. It's time for a new generation to rise up that realizes what's going on in the world today is not say just give up on it. We can change what's going on. We can exchange what's going on in this world. You just got to stand up and believe you can. It doesn't take multitudes. It only takes the few to say enough is enough. Let's change this thing. God has purposed that we have that fruit. Ecclesiastes says what? God has planted eternity, amplified, in the heart of every man, in his mind, heart and mind, a divinely implanted sense of purpose, working through the ages, which nothing under the sun but only God can satisfy. The last part of those verses in every version I read but one says so that man cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. But Young says this, which is right. God has planted eternity in your hearts so that you will know what God has planned from beginning to the end. Why would God plant his eternity in your heart so you cannot know what he's doing? To you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, Paul said. And that Young says it right on. He says he's planted eternity, a divinely implanted sense of purpose in man, so that he can know what God has done from the beginning to the end. Without that eternity in your heart, you won't know. But he doesn't want us blind. We're not children of darkness, we're children of the light. That we might know the things freely given to us. Because in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in Him who is the head of all things to His body, the church. Do you think? He said, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. Why? Because all things I've heard of the Father, I've made known to you. He wants you to know everything. Even in Ephesians chapter 3, it says this mystery that's been hid from the ages has God now revealed to put in His church so that principalities and powers and heavenly places can sit and watch the church and see the marvelous mysteries of God unfolding. Yes. Angels, principalities and powers are watching the church to see what's going on. But the church needs to know what's going on. See, if the God of this world wants to blind the minds of them that believe not so that they don't see what's going on, what God's up to. I'm telling you what, it's a time to stand up. That's why I believe God spoke that word. And when John walked in, I said, the 31st, we're supposed to have it. I didn't know what night the 31st was on. John looked it up. Just happened to be a Sunday night. How about that? God wants us not to start getting excited about what He's going to do. It's time to see the people set free. It's time to see people healed. It's time for the captivity of the church to be turned around.
Yes.
It's time to say no to what's going on around you.
Yes.
I tell you what, I mean, I deal with pastors all the time, and it grieves my heart to see where a lot of these churches are heading. One of the pastors said, When the book of Acts, the church started out in relationship and fellowship with God. And when it went to Rome, it became a religion. And when it come to the United States, it's become an institution. And I heard God said, if after institution, it'll become a mausoleum. That's not the church Jesus died for.
That's right.
He said, I've come that you might have life and you might have it abundantly. And you know what the secret of the church is, the secret of Christianity? It's supernatural from start to finish. So come expecting the supernatural to happen. Come and believe I'm going to be a part of that supernatural happening. I believe we're going to have things going on all around us at the same time. Because everybody's got their gift. It's not a one-man show here.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Telling you, we want to see God move. And not just one night. I want it to be a lifestyle of God moving everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, the Word of God. Because why? Because God, that seed of eternity planted in every one of you. And everywhere you go, that living water is flowing up. And that's the only kind of Holy Ghost thing in you that has the water and the seed together. And it's going to bring forth immediately when you begin to proclaim it and talk about it. You know, you look at the desert. We've been in the desert for a lot of years. And some of this earth I thought was through. But when the rains begin to come, all of a sudden those seeds that's been laying there dormant for a long time started to bloom. I thought we didn't have any grass left back here. When it started to rain, all the grass started coming back. See, those seeds can sit in the ground for years waiting. You know, Job's to talk about, you look at a stump. It's cut down to the ground. Even though it's cut to the ground, it says, at the very scent of rain, it'll bud.
Yes.
It'll grow at the scent of rain.
Smell rain.
Just
yes.
The smell of it.
Yes.
Just the smell of rain is going to bud. Ooh. It's time for you to start smelling the rain.
Yes.
Start smelling the rain
yes.
of what's going on. Don't smell death. Smell life. It will begin to bud and spring forth. In Isaiah chapter 6, it talks about the remnant of Israel that's left in the root.
Yes.
It's left in the, there's a remnant left there that's going to bud
yes.
and bloom.
Yes.
God has purposed that seed to remain.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because He said it will not return void. It will prosper in the things wherein I've sent it. I know Craig Solomon, for years he was planting wheat that actually come out of the tombs of Egypt. The seed origin actually come out of the tombs of Egypt. It was a different kind of wheat. I'm not sure what it's called. He doesn't plant it anymore. But that seed had sat in those tombs all those years. And as soon as it came out and was planted, it began to do what it was created to do. See, God has created us to do something. And not only that, we're in union with the Creator of the whole universe. We're in union with Him that's going to do something. It's not about us, whether we want to do something. Just get on board and watch what He's doing.
Amen.
Just get in it and watch what He's going to do. Amen. Amen. But you know, because of man, the fall of Adam, that seed was cursed, right? And because of that fall, that sense of purpose, Adam lost it. And God said, cursed is the ground for your sake, and soil you shall eat thereof all the days of your life. Genesis 3:17-18. Romans 5:12, as well, one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy what? Sin. Sin and all its characteristics that go with it. That's why we're here, to cause it to be of none effect. No seed of Adam could have redeemed us because it was defective. You know, in Hebrews 2 it says, for Jesus took not upon himself the form of man, I mean of angels, but he took upon himself the seed of Abraham. The what? Seed of Abraham. And it behooved him in all points to be made like his brethren in all points. For what purpose? That he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He took the seed of Adam, the seed of Abraham, so that he could become that perfect seed to redeem us from what we lost. He did it. Though he was rich, yet for your sake, he exchanged it to poverty, so that through that poverty, he might make you rich. You have all the riches of Christ in you. All the fullness of God is in you, the Creator. Don't you think it's time we started acting like it? The problem with too much of the church, we're still living with the Adamic seed. The old mind, will, and emotions. You will always end up with an Adamic problem when you start with an Adamic seed. There will always be a snake in your Eden if you have an old seed. Give me an amen. It's going to take another seed to deliver us from all this problem. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing you have purified your souls, say purified your souls. I've exchanged my souls in obeying the truth to unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed that lives and abides forever. See, it's not making the old seed better. It's giving that old seed a decent burial and get on with the new seed of living. Amen? Because the next verse says, all the earth is as grass. The grass withers and the flower fades. But the Spirit of the Lord, Isaiah 40, will blow on it. What does blowing on the seed have to do with the Holy Spirit? He will quicken your mortal bodies. Make it alive. This is a year for life, not death. Ho, ho. God fixed the fix to fix us. And if you fix the fix, he'll fix another fix to fix you. So what's he after? Death. Death has to be for life. There has to be a death before there can be a life. If you're trying to save your life, Jesus said, you'll lose it, your soul. If you'll just lose it, you'll get a better one. You'll get a new one, a new created one that he gives. That's what he's talking about, life. You can't save that old thing. Just get it buried and get on with living. Amen. Well, hallelujah. We got to have communion. I just want to say this. Noah found grace in the wilderness. What did Noah find in the grace in the wilderness? What did he find? Grace. Even in the midst of that old seed, Noah found grace in the wilderness. You know, grace has been around since creation. You know, Ephesians said that God purposed that we should be without spot or blemish before him in love from the foundation of the world. That was his purpose. It's still his purpose. Says Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Wow. Enoch pleased God. Scripture says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Noah found grace. Enoch found faith. In the wilderness. How much more now? God chose Abraham that through his seed, Christ would be born. God was bringing a new seed for a new kingdom. We got a new seed. It's a brand new seed. That last Adam went down and the second man come up of a whole new creation. I think, John, you're going to talk a little bit about that next week, aren't you? Oh, right. So don't miss. He may take 2 weeks, right? Yeah. So we're going to talk about that new creation next week. So I'm half through. Come on, Eric. Woo, it's glory. Listen, you got to stay upbeat. Don't allow what's going on in this world to bring you down. Golly, don't allow it. You can infect everybody you're around if you'll just stay positive. Not only affect, you can infect them. Because that seed will not return void. So I've chosen to focus on what he's doing, not what everybody else is doing. It's all about life. It's not about death. He gave me a T-shirt. Isn't that what it says? What was it, the words?
It's life I'm talking about, not death, or something like that.
Yeah. It's about life. It's not about death.
Yeah, I'm not talking about dying.
Talking about living. We're talking about living.
Amen.
Give me an amen, Eric.
Okay.